putting love into action. I've taken this text from Romans 12, verses 9 through 13. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted one to another. Honor one another above yourselves. Never lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. In verse 9, Paul tells us love must be sincere, and we are to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. In our society, it is hard to find sincere love. We get a lot of mouth action, but no sincerity action from the heart. We love when it is convenient or as we desire to give love to whom we think is worthy of our love. Love is an action word and not a lip-moving word. Love that we are to be showing others, and what these verses are talking about is Christ's love working in us. Christians seem to have a tough time showing love. I think it's because we have been blessed by what God has given us that we refuse to share or give. After all, in our carnal mind, we think God will not replenish what we have given to others. Don't tie God's hand. To begin with, you own nothing. Absolutely nothing. You do not own one single thing. God owns everything. Even the richest man on earth owns nothing. God owns it, and it will all go back to God. And with that in mind, when you give or help God's people, you are opening yourselves up to receive a greater blessing than what you have shared. Remember when you were a child and you had a favorite toy or some candy and your parents would tell you to share it with your brothers and sisters or friends? It's still the same today. God is telling us to share what we have with our brothers and sisters. We are to share with those who are in need and struggling. We are to share with ministries and churches to help get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to the lost world. We are to hate what is evil. Evil and everything related to evil are the only things we are to hate, such as Satan, his evil empire, his fallen angels that were cast out of heaven with Satan. Sin we are to hate, and what will lead us to sin. There are many acts of sin. Sin is anything God commands us to do or not to do, and we do it or don't do it. The Bible gives us a list of sins. We are to hate the sin and not the sinner. We are not to hate a fellow human being because God loves the sinner so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Taken from John 3:16. Therefore, we too are to love the sinner, but hate the sin they commit and their evil ways. We are to hate the evil, but cling to what is good. Romans 10:12 says, be devoted one to another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Be devoted one to another in love. Devoted to who or what? We are not to be devoted to the world. The world is an enemy of God. And who is the world? Those who reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God and God's free gift of salvation. Satan is the head of the world. It's his kingdom. You may be thinking right now, I'm devoted to my family, my spouse, and my friends. And I say if you are devoted to your family, I assume you mean your mom, dad, uncles, aunts, grandparents, wife, children, and siblings. But is that what this verse is talking about? We are to have family affection for one another. We don't have a problem showing brotherly love to our blood relatives or close friends. But what about the brothers and sisters in Christ? Let's say Nancy has two brothers, two blood brothers, Bob and Mitch. Mitch is a Christian, but Bob is a non-Christian. Armin walks into the room, who is a Christian from Iran and is a friend of Nancy. Now, which of these three men are closely related to Nancy? If you say Bob and Mitch, you would be right only in the fact that their parents, they had the same parent and they're blood related. But we must understand that Nancy and Mitch are more closely related to Armin than Bob. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ made Nancy and Mitch and Armin close relatives. You will spend eternity with your Christian brothers and sisters as one family of God. But because Bob refused the free gift of salvation and chose to spend eternity in the lake of fire from Nancy and Mitch, Bob is no longer a close relative to Nancy and Mitch. Be careful not to neglect the family of God. Make sure you help your brothers and sisters in Christ above all. After all, they may not dress how you think they should or act rough and rugged, but do you remember when you came to Christ? You were a newborn Christian. Yes, and you brought much of the worldly ways with you because that's all you knew. You had to be taught how to live a Christian life. As a young Christian in Christ, you had to and should be learning the ways of the Lord. The Bible tells us as followers of Christ not to be snobs or like a spoiled rich kid. God hates an arrogant person or I'm better than you attitude. They may not be pretty or handsome, but if they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and repented of their sins, you better be loving them the same as you love your blood family, because you will be standing with them throughout all eternity. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Regarding zeal means not to be lazy in your walk with Christ. Be not lazy in studying the Word of God and in your prayer life. And be not lazy in helping others. Fervent spirit or aglow with the Spirit suggests that our zeal enthusiasm should be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Rejoice in hope should be a portion of the believer. The circumstances of the believer may not warrant rejoicing. Contrary may be true, but he sees the future in hope and projects himself into other more favorable circumstances. Dr. McGee gave an excellent example of how we should be in times of trouble. Here is a quote from McGee. I think of my brother in Southland years ago. In a church service, they were giving favorite scriptures. He stood and said that his favorite verse is, "And it came to pass," and everyone looked puzzled. The preacher stood up and said, "Brother, how in the world can it came to pass be your favorite?" He answered, "When I have trouble and when I have problems, I like to read that verse, it came to pass. And I know that my troubles and my problems has come to pass. It has not come to stay." End of quote. This man was looking for a new day out there. And that is what Paul has in mind when he says, rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope, not in your problems, but in hope, because your problems will pass and a new day will begin. Patient in affliction. One thing our tribulation and afflictions does is teach us patience. We must keep our trust in God and that God will take us through our affliction. We do this by being faithful in prayer. Many times while going through trials and tribulations, we stop praying. We should never stop praying under any circumstances. We are to keep talking to God and keep praising and worshiping Him. Keep that line of communication open. Or how will you know what to do? How will you know the will of God? Be joyful in hope, patient and in affliction, faithful in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. When we are going through rough times, find someone you can help. Help the needs of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only are you blessing them, but God sees what you are doing out of love for the saint, and He will bless you beyond your imagination. Not only that, but I want to add that everything you do here on earth and every word that comes out of your mouth, God has it written down in the book in heaven. And when we stand before Christ, or when we stand before God on Judgment Day, those books will be open, and those books will read every word you have said, every act you have committed, and every good deed that you have done to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember that next time you see one of your brothers and sisters in need, and you turn your head. Helping others takes your mind off your problem, and you will begin to rejoice and praise God. This is what we are to be doing all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I hope that this has helped you, as it has me. It opens my eyes to the need of others, and to the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to the needs of those who's taking the gospel of Jesus Christ out to the lost world. What you give is not how much you give, but how you give it. It don't matter how much money you give, or how much food you give, or what you've done to give to help your neighbor, or to help your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not how much, it's how you give it. Because if we give out of the love of Christ, Christ will bless us, and the amount won't matter, because you won't care whether you gave little or you gave it all. God sees what you give, and He knows what you can give. Do your best. Give your best. You know, when I was growing up, our parents used to tell us, when we go to church, you dress your best. And when you give something to somebody, give them your best. When you go to work, give them your best. Do the best job you can do. Everything has to do with being the best or giving the best. God looks at that, and He looks at the heart. And when you give up your best out of love for Christ and out of love for that brother or sister in Christ, then God will bless you. And He will remember that in Judgment Day, because it's written in the books. And when God opens up the books and judges you and judges me, I just pray that He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's all I want Him to hear. That's all I want to hear Him say to me is, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." This is Ron Alfredson, and may God richly bless you.